Okay, good evening. Well, I tell you what, for the group we have, y'all came a long way. Grady, where do y'all live?
Rowlett,
Rockwall, Wiley, Plano, my goodness gracious, Carrollton. So, man, y'all come from all over. Yes.
Is anybody from Plano?
North Dakota, all right. I said Carrollton. All right, first of all, with really good news, Jim, tell us about an L tonight. We're 1-0.
Very well. She's still not out of the woods yet, but it's improving. She had a good night's sleep last night and resting today. She was at the doctor today to put in a pacemaker. He's happy with it.
Good.
They didn't do it. And she's just doing much better.
Very good. Well, we just pray she continues every day. Every day gets better. All right. And my friend Tommy Ice had the quadruple bypass Monday. Fever was a little high, they said, this morning, but he's doing fine and doing okay. So just continue being in prayer for Nail. Let's please be and continue to be in prayer for Tommy Ice. Now, let's get to important, good stuff. Are we getting close and being ready for the cook-off?
I think so. I don't know what the...
Team Maroon. We're going to call it Bonfire Chili with Maroon T-shirts this year. And we, the three of us, have some killer chili. I don't know what anybody else is going to do. What are you guys going to do?
It's going to be good.
All right. Game on.
We'll be live Sunday around 8 a.m.
Tomorrow. We actually...
All right.
At Larry's house, they're making it tonight, and I think they're being called the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, all right. All right. Very good. And, James, have you bought all your cans of Wolf Brand chili?
No, I'm having to think through this. Last night,
our president gave the State of the Union address, and everything I've read about it was very good. But this synopsis of last night, the Democrats refused to stand for the two black families who lost their young daughters to illegal gangbangers. The Democrats refused to stand for the American flag. The Democrats refuse to stand for God and God We Trust. The Democrats refuse to stand for serving the American people. The Democrats refuse to stand for funding the military and our veterans. The Democrats refuse to stand for the destruction of ISIS. The Democrats refuse to stand for keeping Guantanamo open. The Democrats refuse to stand for Americans are dreamers too. Democrats refuse to stand for the young man who escaped North Korea. The Democrat, and they tell me that Pelosi just sat there like this, kind of controlling all the Democrats. Don't you dare stand. Don't you dare like it. And Democrats followed suit.
Joe Manchin.
Huh?
Joe Manchin.
I said there was a few of them.
There were a few?
He's yeah. There's West Virginia, and
he's... Do what?
They're missing now.
My wife gave me a picture. There's one Democrat stand, and Pelosi turned around and went like this to her.
Yeah, she didn't like it. The Democrats refused to stand for the lowest black and Hispanic unemployment since it was first recorded. The Democrats refused to stand for record low unemployment and millions receiving raises and bonuses. The Democrats refused to stand for 200,000 new manufacturing jobs in addition to 2 million more jobs in the economy. The Democrats refused to stand for energy independence. The only time they truly stood was before Trump even entered the hall. They revealed they are anti-Christian, anti-flag, anti-illegal immigration, and how they are anti-American. They are the enemy within, and I agree with that. Okay, now we can pray and get back in the mood and the filling of the Spirit for our study of the Word of God. Let's spend a few moments in silent prayer. Heavenly Father, it is so important that we value our lives, our short time on earth, not wasted away. And Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes tonight with how not to waste our lives. Things that are being looked at for evaluation at the judgment seat of Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Now, Sunday morning in Colossians, we're studying the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if I had to categorize it, that's silver. That's silver. What we're studying tonight is gold. Now, why is tonight gold? Because, people, when we exhibit spiritual love, we are loving just as Christ loved, and we're showing the world how Christ loved, and we're glorifying Christ. That's gold. So what we're doing tonight comes under the category of gold. Now, we move to the third category of love, value love. We've studied phileo love, family love, friends, romantic love, and now value love. Call this value love, for it depends on the value system, the norms and standards of the individual. It includes a number of directions and different magnitudes involved in it. For an example, got to start with love of money. This, of course, is hyper-controlling over a multitude of people. A study of books of Job and Ecclesiastes, and there's a good study on this, on the love of money. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, for money, this means you're always thinking about it, how to get more and more, have wandered away. This actually means to be seduced away in the Greek, from the faith, and pierced themselves with many griefs. Look at how much is involved here. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith, being distracted by the love of money, and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, the word for the lust of money is an interesting word. It comes from the root pleton, P-L-E-T-O-N, which means more, plus another part of the word echo, E-C-H-O, which means to have more. That was the word translated love of money. It describes covetousness or love or desire for more and more money. And it's just amazing how some people are just geared in that in their life. And they can't help it. They can help it easily. But they want more and more and more. Others, it's no big deal. And I don't know what causes an over sense of the love of money, but I'm very thankful to God that He's just never given me that. I'll never forget several years ago, I went home to see my mother, and she was in a wheelchair, and we were wheeling through the grocery store. And so I looked down, and she was crying. We're at the checkout stand. And I got down and I said, Mom, what is wrong? And she says, I don't want you spending this much money. I said, Mom, would you quit crying? They're going to think I'm hitting you. And I said, look, if we got it, we'll spend it. When we don't have it, we'll steal it. So, and she just gave me a horrible look, but she did stop crying. But it's just amazing. Some people have got to have more and more money. They covet it. And pay close attention to the last phrase in 1 Timothy 6:10. And pierce themselves with many griefs, hardships in life. Marry the wrong person. Therefore, never find happiness that marriage is designed to bring. Maybe spend time in prison, financial debt. Lose money chasing after, use good money chasing after more money, and this kind of thing. My good friend, and my friend, guy I like on TV, Joe Kenda, says many times that the leading causes for murder, money, sex, and revenge. And that's from 40 years in the police force. So it's powerful. And a lot of things are done out of the love of money. Let's look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. By the way, it's always been my philosophy and way of life. My wife just sometimes, why are you spending all that money? Why are you doing, if you got it, spend it. That's what it's for. Why keep it under the mattress? And so Hebrews 13, let's look at verse 5. Make sure, this is a very important verse, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Now, in this one verse, we learn something very important about love. Look at it. Any category of love. Phileo, romantic, value, spiritual love. And that is, love is a decision you make. Very important. Love is a decision you make. This is like our study in SAD, S-A-D. You make a decision to be stressed, have anxiety, or depression. People have this idea it just comes over you. No, it's a decision. You did make a decision to have stress, anxiety, depression. It's like I told you before, like a screaming baby. It looks like it's out of control. No, that's all that baby knows to do now. It, it didn't know what to do. It did not know, the baby didn't know what to, doesn't know what to do with the circumstances. So it just starts screaming. It's in control. It knows, the baby knows, don't get offended. The baby knows what the baby is doing now. It's in control. They've chosen to be this way. The decision, at the point of hearing. Phone rings. I was very pleased and taken. I went over to Steve, our friend Steve, the night that we got news that his father had been promoted home. And I was so pleased when he just told me, he said, you know, as soon as the phone rang and my brother told me, he said, I thought immediately, I can either fall apart or just turn it over to the Lord. And he said, I immediately turn it over to the Lord. That's that split decision. The phone rings, you get a message. Your children died on a wreck, on the road, or this happened, that happened. Whatever it is, your medical report came in negative, this type of thing. So, you, at that second, you decide, am I going to fall apart? Am I going to start blaming somebody? Come under stress, anxiety, depression? Or am I going to go to the Lord? It's a split second decision. But you make it. Stress doesn't just automatically come upon us. We choose it. Anxiety, anger, these things don't just come upon us. We choose to be those things. So you can either go into SAD or things like that, or to prayer. and faith dependence on the Lord. It's a decision. It's a decision. And now we're learning the same is true with love. You make a decision to be in love. This old idea, well, they're just controlled by love. They were smitten by love. See, one of my favorite pastime readings, little Charlie Brown is smitten with the red-headed girl. He's smitten. And he various episodes, he'll do something stupid. You do stupid things when you're in love. And you make that decision. It's a decision. It's not something that just comes over you. Make a decision. See? Now, lust may just come in and you cut it right at the beginning, or you feed it. But love is a decision that we make. Now, blaming love, blaming something outside of themselves is what people prefer to do. They want to make a decision to love, but they don't want to admit it. What they're avoiding? Volitional responsibility. And people, that gets down to every decision we make in life. Volitional responsibility. This is what people try to avoid about bad decisions. Taking responsibility for the bad decisions they made in their life. In our study in the area of love. Blame it on love. Just couldn't help myself. Yes, you could. That's a cop-out. That's avoiding volitional responsibility. And as a wise parent who teaches their children these things, you got to teach it. These things don't just happen. This is a responsibility of parents. Because this verse makes it very clear that love, the direction, the magnitude of love, is a personal decision. Therefore, we have to take responsibility for our decisions. Look again at Hebrews 13:5. Make sure that. This is something you do. You make this decision. This isn't something that comes over you. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. See? And that's the point is you make the decision. Being content. How do you do that? How do you make sure your character is free from the love of money? Be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. How do you come to be content with what you have? You're growing in the Word of God, walk in the power of the Spirit. Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I'm in, therein to be content. He had to learn it. We have to learn these things. So as you grow through life, in your home, and then when you finally reach the point or they kick you out of the house, you're ready. You're ready for adulthood. But you've got to be trained for these things. Make sure your character is free from the love of money. How? Being content. Being content with what you have. You can tell if a person is not content with what they have. See? Judith and I have a grandson. I'm worried about him. And I'll say it in humor, but I'm serious. He lust after Lamborghinis, and he's only 10 years old. Gucci, big cars, this kind of thing. He's obsessed with it. Huh? Bugatti? Yeah. He's obsessed. That's his deal. And it's not something I think is just passing time. I mean, he's on the internet. He's got pictures. You tell him, he'll show you a car. You can point out a car. He'll tell you instantly what car it is, how much it costs, da-da-da-da, all these things about it. It's amazing. When I was 10 years old, I didn't care about those things. You know, I was still riding a little hobby horse. Okay? But he just, all this kind of thing. But you've got to learn to be content with what you have. See? For, how do you do that? For he himself has said, I will never desert you. You're never going to be without what you need for life, nor will I forsake you. So, love. Love of money. Then there's the love of the world. Another category. Love of the world. Things in the world. Wealth, power, prestige. Let's look at Matthew 6. Just going through some of the titles that come under value love. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. The word for a love, agapao. Or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, the world. You can't do it. It interferes with your spiritual life. If you find yourself in love with the world, just interferes with it. Another strong passage, James 4. Look at James chapter 4 for another strong passage. While you're turning, James met with an old friend that he used to work with in the 70s. And the friend, I won't go through the whole thing, but told him, well, your voice hasn't changed. I don't think my friends from the 70s could say that to me. My voice is going. And I don't know where it's going, but it's going. Okay, another strong passage. James 4, verse 4. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. People, this is the Word of God. And without right out saying it, many deceive themselves into thinking they can be friends of the world and yet love God. In other words, they're saying the Word of God is wrong. I can do this. No, you can't. Not before God. This is a very important verse to direct us in life. See, friendship with the world, hostility toward God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be friend of the world, and the world includes all of the activities of the world. Yes, even politics, business, the building, the things related to the world that become so important to so many people. Amen. You become friends of the world, hostility toward God. You can't love them both. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Don't deny it. Recognize these things in yourself and nip it. Cut it out. Get your eyes focused on the Lord. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Find Revelation, you can find 1 John. First John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world, agapao, for the things in the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves, agapao, the world, the love, agape, of the Father is not in him. It's not in him. So, 1 John, James, Matthew, these passages are so important in value systems of love. Here we're dealing with things in the world, and that could include just a multitude of things. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. People, we can enjoy them. If you have them, you enjoy them. If you go somewhere, you enjoy it. But your life isn't dependent on it. See? Isn't what you've got to do. I've got to do this. Say, I've got to have this much money, or I've got to go here, I've got to go there. No, but if you have it, or you go somewhere, you enjoy it thoroughly. Have a wonderful time. Immediately get back to what is important as far as life is concerned. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. Why not? People, they're passing away. The world's going to pass away and things are going to pass away, but you're not going to. You're going to live forever. So you want to value the things that have touches, it touches into eternity at the judgment seat of Christ. rewards, being in his kingdom forever. This is where you and I want to live. This is what's important as far as life is concerned. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that love is spiritual love given by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There's a strong warning in the Old Testament in regard to love of the world. Jeremiah 8. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 8. Always remember when you turn to Jeremiah, we've not studied it, but he was just an unbelievable prophet. He talked about the coming of Babylon, the destruction, captivity, and the destruction of the temple, all these kinds of things. So Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning reading at verse 8. How can you say we are wise and the law of God is with us? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. The wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what kind of wisdom do they have? If your wisdom is not the wisdom of the Lord, you don't have wisdom. You're fools. Verse 10, therefore, I will give their wives to others, their fields to new owners, because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is greedy for gain. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone practiced deceit. Now, what I do like about this, I told you many times, problem in America is not D.C. or Hollywood. It's the pulpit. Pulpit's a problem. And that's what we have here. The prophet. See? The prophet, even the priest. Why do you have prophets? When the priests are not doing their job, God calls a prophet. Well, this is so bad. The priests are not doing their job. He's brought in some prophets, and they're not doing their job. They're leading the people astray from the truth. Then he closes verse 10. Everyone practices deceit. Verse 11, and they heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially by saying, all is well, but there is no peace. Verse 12, were they ashamed because of the abomination they had done? They certainly were not ashamed. And they did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time of their punishment, they shall be brought down, declares the Lord. That's his attitude. But these things have to be taught, and they're not being taught from the pulpit. More preachers care more about being politically correct than biblically correct. It's such a shame where we live today. Okay? Another category, love of glory from man. The love of glory from man over glory from the Lord. Let's look at John 5. John 5. Verse 44. John 5:44. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Where do you seek your glory, people? This is very important for parents of a little girl, daughter. She seeks her glory from how beautiful she is, how appealing she is. She seeks it from the Lord. It's very important for all of us. Where do you seek your glory? From man's praise? From the Word of God. And we can all be hit with this. Every now and then I'm hit with it. Look how many people we have here. I'll spend a couple of days in my office going over, get ready for a message. come here? Very few. See? And then you walk out, leave, it's all over. But then I have to realize it isn't going to be from people. It isn't going to be from this world. Am I doing my job as unto the Lord? Am I as prepared for this few as I would be for 5,000? See, that's what I've got to decide. That's what you've got to decide. Where do you want your praise to come from? From others or from the Lord? Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let's look at verses 22 and 23. Romans 1, 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. But they built their idols resembling man instead of Jesus Christ himself. Jeremiah 9. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 9. We looked at chapter 8. Let's look at chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. No, three categories of value love. Wisdom, might, riches. Three things that man strives for, lust after, instead of a relationship with the Lord. Let's go to another category. Love of one's own life. Now that sounds, my goodness, aren't we to love ourselves? Love our lives? Okay. People, let me just start with John 15. Look at John 15. Let's start with that. John 15, 13. John 15, verse 13. Greater love. Now, greater gives you the magnitude. Greater love has no man than this, that one will lay down his life for his friends. Okay? Let's add to that Luke. Luke 14. Luke 14. Now we'll come back to the John, but let's just add to it now. Luke 14, 26. Luke 14, 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate, now remember we studied this, make preference to his own father and mother, and preference to his wife and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now people, you lay down your life for the Lord. That's the highest quality and magnitude of spiritual love there is. Say, love of one's country to the magnitude where you're ready to die. See, many military personnel throughout history have given their lives for America. Their lives. Many veterans today fought World War II, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Afghanistan, Pakistan, these kind of things going on. They're ready to die. They're ready to die for their country. It's a great magnitude of the direction of love. And it reflects. This is important to me. That I will lay down my life. One of the most interesting things in reading church history each morning, even today, somewhere in history, more than once or twice generally, someone has been profoundly executed because of their faith. They would not renounce their faith. They stuck with their faith. And one man was going to be hung and then drawn and quartered and all, but he fell off the scaffold and died, and they didn't get to do anything to him. It was funny. But it just is amazing, you read church history, the number of people who died. And it's what is interesting is how Satan, the things that he would kill him over. I've already told you, there were people killed in the 15th, 16th century because they did not believe in transubstantiation. And just because they did not believe in transubstantiation, and would not say they believed what the Catholic Church, they were executed. And you gotta, hey, what's the big deal? No, I believe that. Big deal. Doesn't matter. That was their point. That's where they were in the conflict. If they had made that decision, it would have made a big decision, big statement. So they chose to die. So the execution, that you're willing to die for the Lord and to value love. We can name a few others. Love of locations. There are people whose human love toward geographical locations of such a magnitude that location is more important than the plan of God. See? And study the Bible. Abraham and Lot. Good study on geographical location. And by the way, this is not sinful. God loves Jerusalem. That's a quote. God loves Jerusalem. So, the point we're talking about is where the magnitude of your love toward something is greater than your love toward the Lord. It's silly. But I'll never forget my senior year in seminary. God, I prefer to stay in Texas. But, you want me somewhere else? I'm ready to go. If you take me where it's really cold, just please have the church and my living quarters downstairs from the church. So I don't have to go out. See? But the geographical location is so important to a lot of people. That's how they determine these kind of things in life. And it's to the point it supersedes the plan of God. Now, it can be a lot of other things that people have love toward. Over, the magnitude is over the love of the Lord. Love of animals. So many people love their animals. Love of music. I love this kind of music. I don't care if it's antithetical to worship. I love it. That's what I'm going to have. Okay? Now, you've got to go with the direction of the love toward God. Now, why mention these things? Because many believers get caught up in the things under value system of love, where even these things become more important, greater magnitude of love than they have toward the Lord, His Word, His plan for their lives. See? Walking by faith. So, the direction and magnitude of your love is of great importance. It's great importance in your life as to God working in your life. Now, we're to have love toward God, toward Jesus Christ, toward the Word of God. That is the greater magnitude of that love than any of the other loves. Philetal love, family, friends, romantic love, or value love. We cannot let any of those love become greater than the magnitude of our love toward the Lord, His plan for our life, where He wants us, and what He wants us doing. We have to have a love that comes from God Himself, not from the human flesh nature. Even unbelievers have love for nobility, virtue, death for the country, this type of thing. But people, only you can be fulfill the command to love one another as I've loved you. Only you can fulfill the command to love Jesus Christ. Only you can fulfill the command to love God in a way that's honorable and acceptable to God. Now, this brings us to our fourth category. We've studied phileo love. We've studied romantic love. We've studied value love. And now we're going to look very briefly at spiritual love. Spiritual love. We're talking about love. We're talking about magnitude. We're talking about direction. And we're talking about effect or impact in your life. All three of these properties are vital in any category, any discussion of love. You're talking to somebody and they're talking about love of something, whatever it is. You got to be able to, you know, may not use those words, but the magnitude of their love, the direction of their love, this type of thing. How important, how vital is it? See? And this is what you have to do. Now, we take a look at spiritual love. Understanding how we're to love that is acceptable to God in the new commandment. Only, here's the important thing, only a new spiritual creation, one born again by faith in Christ, can have this love. That's why I call it spiritual love. Only a new spiritual creature can have this love. This love is supernatural. It does not come from the flesh. It does not come from the energy of the flesh, no matter what it may look like on the surface. Because let me tell you something. You study church history in depth enough, you have a lot of people dying for Roman Catholicism, which is antithetical to the truth of the Word of God. They worship Mary. Sola Scriptura, sola salvation in Christ. They don't believe that. But there are people ready to die for it. That's not spiritual love. That's not of the Holy Spirit. That's of the flesh nature. You've got to be able to understand spiritual love and who has it and who can have it. So all members of the human race have human love. Now, undervalue, they may value their church, their denomination, their movement. They may have a strong desire for that, just as someone would die for their country. We talk dying for America. Look how many people died for Adolf Hitler. Totally evil, totally wrong. Look how many young men, young women died for Hitler. That was their value love. Wrong. But the magnitude, the direction toward Hitler, and the magnitude, ready to die. Ready to die. Has no place before God. Even dying for America has no place before God in a spiritual warfare. We love it. We honor those who died serving our country. We honor those who die on the police force. We honor those who die in the duty of a fireman. See? But I'm talking about in the spiritual realm, not in the human realm. In the spiritual realm. This is the only love that can produce what is acceptable to God. Understand that? Spiritual love is the only love that is acceptable to God. Human love in the energy of the flesh, I don't care if it's from a mother, from a soldier in dying, a policeman, a fireman, what it is, it's unacceptable to our God. And if we can get this understanding, people, you'll understand why in our study of the judgment seat of Christ. Good and bad. It's not that the bad are bad things. It's just it's not honorable before God. Just taking light of our study. Someone died for their country. We would say it's very good. God says bad. Done in the image of the flesh. It's not honorable. It doesn't honor God. It honors country. And that's the point. It does honor country. And that's the whole point with rewards. I get very upset with people. Oh, I don't do those things for rewards. And I don't think that that's any motivation. It's a wonderful motivation. That's what Christ said. And that's why it's in the Bible. I didn't make it up. He put it in His Word. We should want rewards, desire rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be embarrassing to stand there and walk away nothing. And look at somebody else walking away with crowns and rewards. It's embarrassing. See? And now throughout all eternity, you will have rewards. But as we're going to see Sunday morning, you get a glimpse of heaven right here on earth in a spirit-filled life. You're filled with the Spirit, and you decide Sunday afternoon, going to drive through Highland Park, drive through some of the million-dollar home streets and all. You don't jealous. You don't envious. Wow, look at that. That's really cool. That's cool. And you go back to your little cabin, and that's fine. No problem. Now, if we can do that on earth, having a sin nature, but having the Spirit-filled life, think of eternity where there'll be no a sin nature, no inherited sin nature, so there'll be no jealousy. But let me tell you something, there's no equality in eternity. There is not equality. There's going to be no equality. And it's not going to be based on how you look. It's going to be based on the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be just based on how you live your life. And the only love that God is looking for, people, is love given to a person by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit. That's the love. So spiritual love is a category of love that only when born again can have flowing through Him. For this love is from above. It is from God. Only those born from above can have and produce this love. Because only those have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. John 14 is very important. The world can't have this. The world cannot have the indwelling of the Spirit that I'm going to leave you. See? They can't produce this love. You and I can produce this love. Now, let's spend a moment on titles or designation from the concept of our study on Sunday morning, spiritual gifts. In our study on Sunday morning of spiritual gifts, many people confuse spiritual gift with natural talent. People have natural talents, natural abilities, IQ, personalities. And a great deal of study goes into these areas. And a great deal of accomplishment is made by it. See? And what do you call people like Beethoven and them? Progenies. Prodigy. And they're just born with it. They have that ability. Wasn't God given a gift? It was God given, but not as a spiritual gift. See? So we're going to look at spiritual gifts. These are given specifically by God to each and every one of us, to you, to me, to everyone. God the Holy Spirit has personally given a spiritual gift to everyone. Has nothing to do with natural talent. Has nothing to do with natural ability. Spiritual gifts are different than natural talent. And so it is with love. Spiritual love is different from natural or human love. We have seen that love is common in all members of the human race. Human love, common to all. Phileo, romantic value. But people, human love has no dynamics before God. Has no dynamics in the spiritual warfare. God uses the unbeliever. You better bet so. I'm not saying that. He often will use an unbeliever. But as far as the spiritual conflict is concerned, God is not impressed with human love. It requires spiritual love that comes from God the Holy Spirit. Spiritual love to me is a good handle or designation for this love. For in the gathering of believers, there exist spiritual gifts. So why not spiritual love? That's where I first designated this concept. I remember when I did, I got a couple of calls from pastors. I didn't know how they knew about it, but they wanted to know if they could use it. I said, hey, if you see it, it's not mine. I just saw it, spiritual gifts, spiritual love. To me, it was a wonderful crossover, easy crossover. So, spiritual gifts, spiritual love. And spiritual love functions, should function, all the time. See, spiritual gifts functions once in a while. Whatever your spiritual gift is, you may not even use it every day. You may not use it every week. But you'll have it, and when it's ready to be used, you use it. Spiritual love. Every day, all day, every minute you're awake, you use spiritual love to glorify the Lord. So it is directed first of all to Jesus Christ and then to members of the body of Christ and then to unbelievers. And its impact, its effect, is in the angelic conflict, spiritual warfare. It's towards one another, which is the new commandment, characteristic of spiritual love. Now, why is this true? While humans' love emphasizes man, spiritual love emphasizes Christ. This is the way he loved. This is not the way you love. This is not making anything great about us. This is the way he loved. Love one another as I have loved you. So, someone says something about your love, you say, wait a minute. All I did was, I know how he loved me. That's how I love you. It emphasizes Christ's love. It glorifies Christ. See, human love doesn't do that. Human love glorifies me. Human love emphasizes the subject of that love, not spiritual love. The reason spiritual love is different is that it glorifies and emphasizes Jesus Christ. So our study, we refer to this love that comes from a new spiritual species, believer, and a spiritual love. Now, source. Let's talk about source. This love is from above, from God. 1 John 4:7-8. This love comes from God. Therefore, since God is spirit, we'll call this love spiritual love. 2, power. Power for spiritual love. Spirit of the living God energizes this power who resides inside of every believer. Every believer, even though he is carnal and maybe never touch into the spirit life, he's got the Holy Spirit in him. He's got the Holy Spirit in him. And the Paraclete is there inside of him. And when he does give to him by faith, he can produce this love coming out from him. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit leads to the filling of the Holy Spirit by faith, leads to the manifestation of a love that glorifies Christ, not you. Human love always emphasizes me. Look what I've done. Look at the compliments I get. Look at this about me. Not spiritual love. Spiritual love, don't look at me, to Christ. That's where I learned how to love, from him, how he loved me. He laid down his life for me, spiritually. See, he gave his all for me. He will never forsake me, desert me. So this is where I learn about love. That's why people, we spend our life, as Peter says, growing in the knowledge of Christ, increasing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The more we learn about Christ, what are we learning about? The more you're learning about love. The more you're learning how to love. The more you understand him. Love, very sloppy to a lot of people. Their understanding of it is sloppy. They don't understand it. Well, you've got to love everybody. Isn't that a Christian way? You've got to love the homosexuals. You've got to love the perverts. You've got to love the criminals. You've got to love and love and love. They don't understand. Do you have the courage to love Christ? Do you have courage to love him? If you have courage to love him, then you have nothing to do with these others. You've got to understand this love, people. It's a powerful love. It's a unique love. And very few people understand it. They relate love that they find in the Bible with love from the human nature. And that's not the spiritual love that God is looking at. He's looking for a supernatural love given to us supernaturally by faith and has supernatural impact in the spiritual warfare. So source, power, and then 3, the human source of this love, the new spiritual creature filled with the Holy Spirit. The nature of this love is the same as the nature as the source, spiritual. Therefore, spiritual love. Its nature is spiritual. It has spiritual impact as far as life is concerned. So we have a lot to learn about this love, not to get it mixed up and confused with human love. Human love is very appealing. We saw it a couple weeks ago. That's why we call it virtue love. My virtue. Look at how I love. See, this isn't virtue love. Virtue love is human love. Spiritual love is from the Holy Spirit. Spiritual love glorifies Christ. Spiritual love emphasizes Christ, not you. It emphasizes Him. See, that's the whole point. Sometimes I give money to someone, and they say, bless you. No. Understand, this is from the Lord. This is not from me. It's a blessing to you from the Lord, not from me. People, it's so important we understand, because love is so important. Love is so, causes so much in life. Causes so much trouble, happiness, joys. Everybody seeks it in human realm, in the human realm. And they take it, go to the Bible, which has thousands of passages deals with love, and they think that human love is the love talked about in the Word of God. It isn't. It is not. The love that God is acceptable to God, and the only love that is acceptable to God, is love that comes from His Holy Spirit. That's the only love that is acceptable. Well, we'll resume here next Wednesday night. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise You that You're a God of love. Your word says, God is love. And it's so important that we understand that love and not abuse it. Not bring it down from the high place that it has. And then, Heavenly Father, we think about it and we stand amazed that You have Your love flow through us by Your Spirit. That's just amazing. So first we praise Your love, and then we go, wait a minute, that's the same love that flows through us when we are in the power of His Spirit. What an awesome God You are. How merciful You are to allow us to love with Your love. Father, I pray Your Spirit use the things we've seen tonight for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.